You're listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, Around Atlanta Edition, showcasing the best of Metro Atlanta, our communities, the attractions, and the special events that make Atlanta great. Welcome to our virtual town square. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Around Atlanta Edition. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Carol Morgan. Good morning, Carol. We launched this show, fall 2011, and we have been yearning to have today's guest on the show. We finally got him. I am so looking forward to it. They're one of the great treasures of Metro Atlanta. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited about this. And it's near and dear to my heart because I used to work at this great Atlanta attraction.
You spent about 4 or 5 years there. So yep. It was a big part of your early professional career. So let's get to it. We're joined this morning by Raymond King. He is the president and CEO of Zoo Atlanta. Raymond, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. As I said, we have been so looking forward to having the zoo on the show. So we're grateful for you making time to join us. Gosh, before we get into, we have a specific subject to talk about today, but before we get into that, take a quick second, tell us a bit about you, your background, and then for the four people who live here that aren't familiar with the zoo, give us an overview of what it's all about.
Sure, my pleasure. I'm not your typical zoo CEO. People often ask me what's my animal background, and I tell them I have a dog. I am an Atlanta native, never lived anywhere else, went to Georgia Tech, came out of Georgia Tech, and went to work for what was then Trust Company, then SunTrust, where I spent 22 years, thought I'd retire there. Civic involvement was a key part of our culture. I spent my last 8 years, which was really the bridge to getting to the zoo, was that my last 8 years, I was senior vice president for community and government relations. Hmm. So I was deep in the Atlanta philanthropic community, the nonprofit community. I was essentially a corporate philanthropist. So never envisioned that I would be running the zoo. When I was asked if I wanted to do so, I laughed, thought they were kidding. But, you know, after I learned more about where the zoo was in its evolution, it actually made some sense. Mm-hmm. I like to say that each of the zoo's leaders, since it was a private institution, have been the right leader for the right time.
Yep.
I hope history proves that to be the case with me. So I've been there 9 years now, which is hard to believe.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I still feel new. I still try to use that every once in a while as my answer. I'm new around here. And, you know, give me a little time to figure it out. But, you know, for those that aren't familiar with Zoo Atlanta, we are Atlanta's oldest cultural institution, celebrating 130 years now. I consider us one of the footsteps to Atlanta. Most people that, you know, travel will often visit the local zoo or aquarium. And so my initial interest probably in this role was not as much about animals, frankly, as it was just this was a very important civic entity that frankly was struggling and was fairly fragile. And I thought that's just not right to have such a key institution, you know, be fragile. Now, 9 years into it, I'm obviously deeply vested in our mission and the animals, and it makes it a really special place to work. But I'm also, at the end of the day, driven about making it the strongest institution we can and, you know, helping Atlanta be a better place to, you know, live and work.
That's fantastic. You can't meet your mission unless you have the money to do it.
Correct.
And, you know, and I can say Zoo Atlanta was, you know, until I started my own company, my favorite job ever. I loved working there. I loved the people. It was absolutely fantastic. But I'm a huge animal lover, so I mm-hmm. guess I approached it from a little bit different
sure,
view
right.
than you did. So we're going to talk about loving animals a little bit more today.
Good.
I understand that Zoo Atlanta is playing a big role in conserving animals in the wild. Let's talk a little bit more about, you know, what you're doing to that end.
I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to talk about that because too often people think of Zoo Atlanta just as an attraction. You used mm-hmm. that word earlier. And we are an attraction,
right.
but we're much more than an attraction. You know, if all you do is come down to the zoo and, you know, walk around and look at the animals and don't listen and don't observe, you would just think we were an attraction.
Right.
But we're there to save wildlife and their habitats. That's what motivates 99% of our team to come to work every day. Yes, we're a great attraction. And so guest experience is very mm-hmm. important to us, but we're all about inspiring and connecting the public with the animals and with the mission of saving wildlife and helping them appreciate and fall in love with these animals. Because if you don't ever see the animals, you don't understand their situation, you don't have any feelings in your heart for them, and you're not going to do anything to save it.
Right.
And unfortunately, today, you know, most of the household animals you think of your grandchildren wanting to see are at threat of not being around in the next couple of generations if we don't do something.
Right.
So that's why we're there, and we play a big role in conservation. And it hadn't always been that way. You know, sometimes people think of zoos as they were 50 years ago. Well, again, we've probably evolved more than any industry from the nonprofit sector that I know of. And it's all about conservation. And you know, yes, we're all about guest experience and driving attendance, because ultimately that plays a big role in our mission.
Right. Well, and you think about it, you know, people want to take their kids to the zoo to see the animals. And, you know, if they're looking at the zoo as an attraction, they get there. And then once they're immersed in it and they read the signs and they hear what the staff are saying, they're getting educated on conservation, whether that's their purpose in going
Correct.
Or not.
Exactly right.
So it's that kind of soft sell.
Yeah. I tell my team all the time, I want to inspire everybody in Atlanta to want to come to the zoo, whether they think they like animals or not.
Right.
And if we do our job right, they'll leave really loving the animals and understanding their situation and the dynamics at
right.
work. And yeah, when they get to, you know, interact with our staff, that's a game changer when they really come to appreciate what's going on.
Right.
Well, respecting the animals and their situation is, I think, a big mission and purpose of how you educate the community. Yeah, it's an attraction. Yeah, you bring your child to go see some cool animals and you get some good photos that you can put on Instagram, blah, 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 blah. But there's so much more to this. I mean, talk more about that mission. I live in Chicago currently, and so I spend a lot of time at the Lincoln Park Zoo and have begun to appreciate the work that they're doing behind the scenes, if you will. But it's not really behind the scenes, right? Your goal here is to create a community of people who maybe they don't come to the zoo every day to see the animals, but they are looking at the world differently as a result of their experience there, right? Explain how you do that.
Absolutely. In fact, for many children, we're the kind of the first interaction they have with nature.
Yeah.
You know, there's a nature deprivation out there. People are spending all their time on, you know, their phones and they're not getting out. And so, yeah, we're that first exposure that can be one of those life-changing kind of interactions where you leave not only caring about animals, but just the environment you live in and wanting to make sure that it's even better for your children and grandchildren. So, it's creating that connection. It's creating that inspiration and it's educating them. So, you know, we play a huge role in educating children through the school system. You know, over 90,000 school students will come through the zoo in the course of a year. Mm-hmm. But we also have that informal education every day through those interactions, through the signage, through the way we message things, so that people do have that, you know, deep appreciation for wildlife and will do everything they can in their own personal lives to make sure that our environment's sustainable.
So let's talk a little bit about how you raise money for conservation funding.
Sure.
How does that work?
We never have enough, but what's great is that zoos all collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at what zoos as an industry do, you know, over $150 million is invested collectively in conservation. So it's pretty significant. So yeah, we may be a small investor in one specific project, but you know, there's 10 others at the table, and that's not just about the money, it's about the human capital coming together as
right.
well. So, you know, the way we raise money for that is via a wide array of tactics. The main thing that the public can appreciate is that every day they come to the zoo, you know, a quarter of their admission, 25 cents, goes to conservation.
Mm-hmm.
We carve it out of the ticket and it goes into a fund that funds three very specific projects each year. And the public actually gets the opportunity to vote on which one they'd like to see their quarter go to. There's a kiosk right when you enter and you get to hear about what those three projects are and what our role is.
Mm-hmm.
And then they vote. So that's a very sustainable source of conservation funding,
right.
which is a real key to being successful in conservation. If you just go throw money at it for 2 years, you know, long term, your impact's going to be minimal. It's got to be on a sustained basis.
Yes.
Ty Pennington here for Jackson EMC. Did you know your heating and air system is one of the largest users of energy in your home? Replacing your traditional thermostat with a smart device saves you money while maintaining your comfort. Smart thermostats can do the decision-making for you by adjusting throughout the day to match your schedule and save you energy. Energy-efficient living is about doing more while consuming less. For more energy-saving tips, visit JacksonEMC.com.
All right. So education and helping raise funds, that's certainly one role you play. Are you actually working with animals in terms of repopulating or any breeding efforts? I mean, talk about that, those kinds of direct efforts.
Absolutely. You know, one of the most fundamental things we do is maintain assurance populations. You know, if an animal goes extinct in the wild, you at least want to have it where people can still come appreciate it. And then hopefully over time, you can find a way to repopulate it in the wild. And we played big roles over the years in doing such things. For example, you know, the Panamanian golden frog is extinct in the wild. The only place you see it now is in zoos and at one facility in Panama. We maintain a colony of golden frogs. We continue to support, you know, preserving that species over time, but we also do the reintroduction programs as well. And that's the ultimate success to me. I wish you could, you know, do that with every animal. Yeah. You can't. You know, a great legacy we have is in golden lion tamarins.
I was going to ask.
You know, they were on a serious decline in the wild, and the zoo community, with us playing a big leadership role, came together. And via the work we did, not only did the population within the zoo community grow, but over time the population in the wild grew very significantly, and that's very rewarding. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, we maintain the assurance population, but we also do the reintroduction programs. You know, we've got a partnership where we support the Georgia Sea Turtle Center down on the Georgia coast. Many people have probably been. Their focus is raising awareness on the challenge that terrapins face along the coast, and we have a great program where we rear young terrapins till they're to a certain stage in life, where then they go back to the Georgia Sea Turtle Center, who is then able to put them back into the wild. And you know, that's one of the things that's focused in our new, fairly new amphibian reptile complex built in 2015 called Scaly Slimy Spectacular.
They actually that's an get awesome to see, name.
Those terrapins, they literally have numbers on their back like they're football players, and get to appreciate what we're doing. So again, understanding the crisis that's there, but also seeing the role that zoos and we play.
Are you still involved in the Golden Lion Tamarin Project?
We are.
I know that was one of my favorite things when I was at the zoos, watching them, you know, fly through the trees and the babies, and they were just so cute and great mission.
Jennifer Mickelberg, who is in charge of all, you know, our animal population, is a big leader in that role and has stayed involved for many, many years.
That's awesome.
Right, so if I'm listening to you here and I care about these issues of animal conservation, and or I have visited and I'm excited and I've learned that there's a bigger role for me to play in the world and helping with this, but I don't want to give just a quarter of my ticket when I come see you. Are there other ways people can get involved, both financially and to further education and help spread awareness? What else can we do?
Absolutely. And it runs the whole gamut. So it's starting out as just buying that individual ticket. But then you can become a member, which I've always told people is the best investment you can make, because then you don't think twice about going. You can go, you know, twice a week, you can go and only spend 30 minutes one day and not worry about it. I mean, it's the gift that keeps giving. Yep. But then beyond that, we have something called our Conservation Society, which is an opportunity where donors who give $1,000 or more a year get to really get more deeply engaged in the work we're doing. They get invited to special events. You know, they'll get to see exhibits open before others, et cetera. And that money, you know, plays a big role in the things we're able to do. We have a huge volunteer program, everything from family volunteer programs to volunteer programs for you know, teenagers to get involved on an annual, ongoing basis. And that's, you know, exciting for us because we're inspiring and grooming the conservation of the future. We've literally got somebody on staff that, you know, began her zoology career as a volunteer for us. So yeah, we, you know, we're always anxious to find people that want to get more deeply involved, and you know, we can provide them lots of conduits.
That's the other advantage of those kind of programs, is you spark a potential career out of it, you know.
Right.
That's what I love. I love hearing those stories.
So let's talk a little bit about giant pandas. I think the zoo had really just gotten them about the time I was leaving. So how is that going, and what's going on with giant panda conservation?
Yeah, that's probably one of the things we're most widely known for. You know, there's only three zoos in the country right now that have giant pandas.
Right.
And so people come from all over the world to see those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a very charismatic animal. And, you know, we're proud of the role we've played there. Collectively, over the years, we've invested $10 million in panda conservation via that program.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And so were able to see the benefits of those. We have provided support to probably 6-7 sanctuaries over there. Mm-hmm. It's a great partnership. So we've, you know, been in the Panda program for almost 20 years now.
Wow.
It's been fun to watch mm-hmm. the pandas grow up. We've been very successful with breeding. We're the only zoo that's been able to raise not one set of twins, but two sets of twins, which is an extremely difficult thing to do. When twins are born in the wild, the second one typically does not live because mom can only take care of one at a time.
Yeah.
All the moms listening on this podcast can probably appreciate that, how difficult that is.
Right.
So we have to play that role and keep two of them thriving, and we've done that twice. So we've been very helpful in growing the panda population. And so it's great that it brings people to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It's great that, you know, our local residents get to go see those on a regular basis. But at the same time, we have helped move the needle on panda conservation. In fact, the program has been so successful that about 3 years ago, the panda population was upgraded in its status. There's still work to be done, but the population has grown in such a fashion that it received that upgrade. And, you know, it shows that conservation works.
Yes, it does.
On a sustained basis.
And I'll credit the leadership of Zoo Atlanta for helping in that upgrade. Great, great stuff.
So you talked a little bit about a new partnership you have with Conservation South Luanga. Tell our listeners more about that and what's going on there.
That's really important to us. You know, for most people, they're aware that we're in the midst of a major expansion at the zoo, building a whole new African savanna. So we're investing a tremendous amount of money in that. But in doing so, we wanted to make sure at the same time that we were taking our level of investment in elephant conservation up to a higher level. We want to be, you know, a premier leader within the elephant world and how you care for them and how you preserve them. So we built this partnership, and again, it's a multi-year partnership. It involves not just money, but it's human capital and lending expertise. And they do very hands-on things that I think the public very much appreciate. For example, you know, they've got a team of detection dogs that can work to sniff out things like ivory and animal skins and things that aren't supposed to be getting traded.
Ah.
They can sniff those out at roadblocks. They do aerial surveillance to see where animal populations have been trapped in poachers' snares. Again, very hands-on type things out in the wild, which allows us to expose the public to what those solutions are while right. we are funding them at the same time.
Mm. That's excellent.
That's great stuff. Great work. And you mentioned this new African savanna. We're going to have you on the show in a couple of weeks, and we're going to get into that in great detail. I'm looking forward to that conversation. Until then, Raymond, remind everyone where they can go to learn more about everything happening at Zoo Atlanta, including getting involved in some of these conservation and membership programs.
Obviously, they can go to our website. That is www.zooatlanta.org. We're also very active on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And so we encourage people to follow us there. It's both educational and entertaining.
Outstanding. Raymond King, President and CEO of Zoo Atlanta. Great to have you on the show. We'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Right. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, that wraps this week's Around Atlanta edition. On behalf of my co-host, Carol Morgan, I am Todd Schneck. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening, and we'll look forward to seeing you again here next week. We'll see you then.
Today's episode was made possible by Denham Marketing, the publisher of Atlanta Real Estate Forum, Atlanta's favorite real estate blog and source for real estate news, trends, new home communities, model homes, builders, and more. Denham Marketing is a comfortable fit, like your favorite pair of jeans. Denham Marketing tailors marketing strategies to meet your specific needs and niche. Try them on for size. They will work to create a perfect fit for your company's marketing program. Call them at 770-383-3360 or send an email to info@denimmarketing.com. For more information on Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio or to inquire about being a guest, contact info@atlantarealestateforum.com. Check out the radio show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by listening to the show on your podcast or iTunes app. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. Thank you again for listening, And we'll see you next time on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.